grab your Bibles. Amen. And let's get into the Word this morning. Praise God. Thank God for Him being here. Thank God for us being here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. We're going to continue on. I think that this probably will be the last piece to the series that we've been dealing with here for peace, unless the Holy Spirit changes my mind and brings something else back up and we have to do some more, and we'll do some more, but as far as I know, we're going to finish this up today. If you got your Bibles, like I said, once again, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to begin there this morning, 1 Thessalonians. How many of you guys have enjoyed this lesson on peace? Amen. Wonderful lesson. There's wonderful information for us to know. Thank God for it. It has helped me. All right, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 this morning. We're going to start reading here with verse number, let's read verse 23. I'm going to read it from the King James and from the Amplified this morning. Verse 23 from the King James says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Now the Amplified Bible for those same two scriptures says, "May the God of peace himself, may the God of peace himself sanctify you." So first of all, we see that God is the God of peace. So he said he wants to sanctify us, or set us apart, or separate us. He says, so may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. Separate you from profane things. Make you pure and wholly consecrated to God. And may your whole spirit, may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved sound and complete. Be preserved sound and complete and founded blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy, and he will also do it, fulfill his calling by hallowing and keeping you. Now, it says, may the God of peace himself separate you, or sanctify you, or separate you from profane things, and consecrate you wholly to himself. Now, this is interesting here. It says, and may your whole spirit, may your spirit, may your soul, may your body be preserved. Now, there's those two words, sound and complete. That's peace. That's one of the definitions for our word peace, soundness, wholeness, completeness. So what he's saying here is that God himself says, now, I am entering into a covenant promise with you guys, with my people, that I myself will separate you in peace. I'm going to separate you first spiritually. Then I'm going to make sure that that soul is separated. And I'm going to make sure that that body is separated. But notice, it's going to be sound and complete, or it's going to be done through peace. It's going to all be done through peace. Then he goes on, he says, faithful is he who has called you to himself. Now, he's the God of peace. So faithful is he that has called you to this peace, and he said, and he will do it. He will perform it, all right? So now we have a promise here that God is saying that we're going to be separated in wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. He did that for your spirit the day you got saved. The day you gave your life to Christ, the Spirit of God entered into you, and your spirit was made whole that day. Done. There's absolutely nothing in your spirit that is going against God. That spirit, man, the Bible says that he who joined himself unto the Lord has become one spirit with him. That's over in Corinthians, I believe, the sixth chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, the sixth chapter. So we're one spirit with the Lord. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit have become one. Now, there is no contamination in the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit has joined himself, united himself, and has become one with our spirit, there's no contamination in our spirits. So our spirits are whole. Then there's another scripture in the Bible that says to take the engrafted word that has been engrafted into our spirits and to save our souls. So through the word of God and us allowing what's in our spirits to influence our souls. Now, your soul has been being brought into being this wholeness. Now, you're going to have a part to play when it comes to that soul. Getting that soul lined up with the Word of God, Romans the 12th chapter. You're going to have to put the Word of God in there and get the ideas of the world out. Amen. So you have a part to play when it comes to your soulish man. But then once the spirit and the soul has aligned, that body follows. See, the body really has no mind of its own. It's just wild and out of control until something tames it. So, you know, if you get your spirit and your soul lined up, your body automatically will fall in line with what's going on with your spirit and your soul. Amen. So the Bible here says that God has separated us to himself. And he said, I am so faithful that I will do this in your life. Now, how is he going to do it? And that's what we're going to talk about today. He's going to do it through this force of through the force of peace. See, it's not enough just for us to know that we've been separated in peace or that we have peace with God. And God says that my covenant of peace, I'll never remove it from you. But it goes further than that. Remember when we first started this study and I said that from reading in Genesis where Adam and Eve was created and where they lived at, God designed for them to take the peace and control all their circumstances around them. So that force of peace was constantly controlling their environment at all times. I don't care what was coming up, what was going on. The force of peace should control everything around you. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The force of peace. Using peace as a force. And we can do that. God intends for you to do that. Jesus did it, took and used his peace on purpose and aimed his peace at things and brought them in alignment. Amen. So now let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 here. Verse 16 says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter. Underline that word comforter. We're going to pick that up here in a minute. That he may abide with you forever. So the comforter is a he. It's not a something. It says that he, the comforter, may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. So the comforter could also be called the Spirit of truth. Who the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Now, how come it doesn't see him? Because the world knows no truth. What's truth? The Word is truth. The Word of God. I mean, the world is not paying attention to the Scriptures. They're not reading the Bible. So you cannot see Jesus if you don't know the Word. And you will not see the working of the Holy Spirit without understanding of the Word. So the world can't see him. They don't even know him. It says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, drop down here to verse number 26. But the Comforter, there's the word again, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So now, let's understand this word, comforter. I believe I looked at that word, comforter, up. Yeah, comforter. Now, the giving of the comforter from reading the scriptures that we just read, his job is to make, first of all, a comforter's job is to make you comfortable. So first of all, the job of the comforter would be to make your life comfortable. Now, or you could put it this way, to make your life free from pain or distress. So the first job we see here of the Holy Spirit, now don't forget we're talking about the force of peace. You have to follow me here because I'm going to wrap us back into to the force of peace. Now, the Comforter's job is to put us in the position and make our lives free from pain and free from all distress. So his job is to come into your life. Remember, Jesus says, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that life and more abundantly to it is full and running over is a life that is free from pain and distress. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be any challenges to life, but the challenges won't overtake you because there will be a force of peace coming out of you that will control the challenges that are trying to attack your peace. Amen. So now the comforter's job is to make your life comfortable, free from pain, free from distress. Amen. Now, Jesus says that he's also going to do this through reminding you of what Jesus has spoken unto you. Now, it's very interesting to me how after Jesus made this that statement that the comforter, who the Father will send in my name, shall bring all things back to your remembrance. It's really, you know, very interesting. Verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. So obviously the comforter is going to constantly remind you of peace. Now, remember the scripture that we read. It says that God, I'll listen to hear what my God is saying, for he should speak peace to his people. So the Holy Spirit is constantly reminding you of the peace that you're enjoying with your Father. Now, remember, God says, I promise to sanctify you wholly, and I'm going to do it. Over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, says that God is going to work in you. First of all, he's going to bring you into this peace. Then he's going to work in you to accomplish this peace in your life. So now, the Holy Spirit here is going to remind you of the peace that we enjoy with God. How is he going to remind you of it? To remind you of what the Word has said. See, there are situations that have come up into your life and to try to challenge your peace. But the Holy Spirit's job is to step in there and remind you what the Word said about that situation. And when you agree to what the Word said about the situation, then you allow the force of peace to move forward in your life, amen, and shut down or control what's going on around you, all right? So it says, peace I'm going to leave with you, my peace. Now, we know Jesus walked in absolute total wholeness. Nothing was missing, nothing was broken in his life. So Jesus' promise here says, this promise just said to you, I'm leaving you with my peace, the peace that I enjoy. So that means that we have the same ability to control our circumstances, control life around us just the way Jesus did. And not just ours, but Jesus also used his peace to influence the lives of others. So we'll see that also in a minute as we go through here. Now, what I want to get to down here before I move on, it says, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Amplified Bible for that says, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. See, peace is supposed to handle agitations and disturbances. But see, if you allow the agitation and the disturbance to rule, then peace is going to be forced out. But when you allow the Word of God to rule, peace is going to step up and force agitation and disturbances out. Now, notice what happens. If you make sure that you do not become agitated or disturbed, it says, and do not permit yourself to become fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. So peace is going to help me not be intimidated by the devil. Whatever the situation the devil's throwing up in my face, it won't intimidate me because I know I have peace. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking peace to me. I'm not going to get unsettled. Or even if unsettledy tries to come in, it will not rule me. Because I'm not saying that these things won't try to attack you. See, they will. But see, the attack is not where the issue is. The issue is where you're going to stand. Or are you going to stand up underneath what's attacking you, or are you going to stand up underneath the Word of God? Because wherever you take your stance is going to determine the outcome. And if you take your stance up under agitation and disturbances, well, then you're going to find yourself being intimidated. You're going to find yourself becoming a coward. Cowards shrink and fall away from God instead of coming to him. That's what cowardly means. You find yourself being put in the position to where, is cowardly, where you're unsettled all the time. Can't sleep, can't think, can't eat. Then sickness and disease comes, wants to attach itself to it, and so forth and so on. But if I take my stance with God up underneath the peace of God, then my force of peace coming out of my spirit will control all the other things and force them out. Now I can think clearly. I can make the right decision. Because you can't think clearly and make the right decisions when you're unsettled. When peace is not present, you're going to make the wrong decision. That's why you're never to make a decision in the haste of the moment when the pressure's on. No, no, no. Don't allow the pressure to pressure you. You take the pressure and you put the peace on it and force it out. Now I can think clearly because now I can hear what the Lord is saying. And the end result of what he has said to me will be peace. All right. Now. All right. So now let's move over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. Let me read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth. Now, we're talking about that comforter whose job is to make your life comfortable, free from pain and distress. But he, the Spirit of truth, the truth giving spirit. When he comes, notice he's going to guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak on his of his own message on his own authority. But he will tell whatever he hears. He will remind you of what the word has already said from the Father. And he will give you the message that has been given to him. What message has been given to him? The word of God. That's all the Holy Spirit is going to speak into your life. He is never going to contradict what the word has said. He's only going to remind you of what the word has already spoken. And he will announce and declare to you things that are to come that will happen in the future. Those are protective mechanisms. The Holy Spirit makes sure that your life is always guarded if you listen to him. See, all this is a part of your peace. He'll let you know what's around the corner. Before you even get to the corner, you already know what's going to happen when you get there. To let you know that either you're on the right path or take another one. So that's going to help you keep yourself in that perfect peace. Amen. Now, he will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, the Comforter, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Now, I looked up those words there, declare, transmit, and disclose. To disclose something means to announce or to proclaim. So first of all, the job of the Holy Spirit is to announce and proclaim to you what you have. What belongs to you? Amen. Now, in this study, I believe it was last week, we talked about the word retribution. Restitution. Was it restitution? It was restitution. Let me see if I can find it. The act of restoring back to someone what is theirs. The act of restoring back to an individual what belongs to them anyway. So, first of all, the Holy Spirit's job is to come into your life. Now, how's he going to make you comfortable? By letting you know what belongs to you in the first place. I'm coming to make an announcement and a declaration in your life. This belongs to you. You have a right to these things. You have a right to joy. You have a right to happiness. You have a right to health. You have a right to prosperity in every area of your life. These things belong to you. So his first job in making your life comfortable is to let you know what you have a right to. That's why it's important for us not to go away from the Holy Spirit, but to stick with him, because he's only going to remind us of what the word has already said. And the word tells us what our rights are, who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. So he's going to declare and announce to us or proclaim to us what is rightfully ours. Then the Bible says to disclose it. That means to bring light. So after he announces to you what's yours, now he wants to enlighten you. Information has to come before you're enlightened. So now, he's told you it's yours. Now he wants to enlighten you. He wants to give you wisdom on how to go about doing it, how to go about getting it, how to bring it into your life. All right? So he's disclosing it. He's declaring it. He's disclosing it. Then the last one was, now he wants to transmit some things. The word transmit means to hand over or to hand down or to make you a recipient. So after he announces what is rightfully yours, he wants to bring revelation on how to do it so that he can hand it over to you, hand it down to you, or make you a recipient of it, where now it's in your life. So now, what was it that Jesus says that he's going to, one of the first things that Jesus announced after he says the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of some things, he says, my peace. So in him reminding you of his peace, he's alerting you to what belongs to you. He's enlightening you on how to get it. And then the Holy Spirit's job is to work with you, in you, and through you to get it transmitted or to hand it over or to hand it down or, and to make you the recipient of that thing. Now, once you've become the recipient, that means you've received it. It's now yours. All right? You can live in it. You can walk in it. So now we're talking about the force of peace. So the Holy Spirit's job is to make your life comfortable by enlightening you and announcing to you and transmitting to you everything that Jesus has. Because the scripture says that everything the Father has is mine. And the Holy Spirit's job is to come into your life and to educate you on what you have so you can get a hold to it. If you don't know you have a right to it, you don't go after it. But once you figure out that that's rightfully mine, you go get it. Now, as long as someone says, girl, you a millionaire. You're like, yeah, you know, I believe that by faith. You a millionaire. Yeah, I believe that by faith. See, that's one thing for someone to come tell you. Oh, let me back up and let me say it this way. I know that you've been left $1 million. See, I read it. You know, sometimes you go on the internet and you go to those little websites and you find on there where people died and left money and people you maybe don't know that they've gotten it yet. But I saw your name on there. And I come and said, Renata, you a millionaire. And you're saying, yeah, I know. I believe it by faith. See, you haven't seen the information that I've seen. So what am I getting ready? I see, first of all, I'm announcing some things to you. You a millionaire. See, based on the information that I have. See, the Holy Spirit already knows who you are and what you have. So he comes and he announces it. You a millionaire. And then you say, yeah, I believe it. And then I say, hold on, you don't understand. I was on the website last night on the internet, and I saw your name, and it says someone left you $1 million. Now, when I say that, now I've given her some enlightenment. Now she has some enlightenment to go with that, I received $1 million. So now she's going to go home, and she's going to do what? Get on that computer and see what I saw. So when the Holy Spirit comes and announces something to you, and you receive it, then you go do what she did. You go home and get on your computer. Where's your computer? That Bible. And you line up and say, oh, there it is. He said I had it, and I found the scripture for it. See, the Holy Spirit has been telling, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit tell you you're supposed to be, you know you're not supposed to be sick. Anybody that's saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit on their deathbed, deep down the inside, there's a little voice that's saying, you don't have to die. But the problem is they never go find the information to back it up, that voice that's going on in there, that they hear on the inside. But see, she went home and got on the computer and backed up with the information I gave her. Now, the moment she found it and agreed with it, yeah, that's my name. That's my birthday. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. Then she gets in touch with whoever she gets in touch with. Now it's transmitted. Now what happens? She becomes recipient of that $1 million that was hers the whole time. So the same thing is true what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives, with our peace. Now, unless we get involved with figuring out what Jesus left us, you don't get the peace because you don't know about it. But the word of Jesus already said in the word, everything I have is yours. I've already given it to you. There's another scripture that says that we're members of God's house. And if you go over and read the story of the prodigal son there and look at the second son that didn't leave, the father told him, why are you angry because your brother's come home? Son, didn't you know? You live here. Everything I have is already yours. So that's the importance of knowing that you live in the Father's house. You have a right to it all. Peace, wholeness, spirit, soul, body, everything, amen? So now, let's move on here. Take a look once again at Psalms 85. Psalms 85. So we're not going to get upset with the Holy Spirit when he starts speaking to us if it goes against what we think. See, that's one of the major problems with God's people. When the Holy Spirit starts leading and guiding them into the truth, a lot of times they have a tendency to get upset because the things that the Holy Spirit may say may go against what you're thinking or how you want it to work. And then you see it as God trying to take something away. But the scripture we're getting ready to read says everything God is speaking is going to have an end result of peace. See, you should never put yourself in a position to where you take an absolute stand against what you hear in your spirit. Because the moment you do that, you're shutting down something and there's going to be something missing. Because remember that these jobs are to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. To remove peace. So when you start agreeing with him, some peace is getting ready to be removed from your life. But when I say, look here, I may not understand why you're saying this to me. And see, God never, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes and starts talking to you, God is not nervous if you tell him, I don't understand. He don't get nervous. That doesn't bother him. He know he don't understand it. Because if you understood it, then he wouldn't have to come tell you that it was wrong in the first place. So he doesn't get upset if you say, well, Father, I understand. But you know what? I'm willing to do it. See, that's all he want to hear is I'm willing to do it. And see, a true child of God, you may not agree with it right away. You may not understand it right off the bat. You may not even like it. But I'm willing to do what you say, Father. I'm just willing to do it. Maybe you'll show it to me later on down the line. If you do, if you don't, I'm willing to do it. What if he decide not to show it to you, what the reason why down the line? Or are you still willing to do it? Or are you still just, I'm flat out willing to follow you, Holy Spirit, because this is what you told me to do. All right? So don't get nervous when what you're hearing is contradicting what you're thinking. Because if you go head on and add and work it out with the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you the correction and he's going to show you your error. So don't fight him on it. Don't fight him on it. That's his job, to lead, to guide you into the full, whole truth of the matter. So don't get nervous. Don't get upset. Obey. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But then the next verse of scripture says, but if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What is the sword? Your own words. Because if you rebel and go against what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, that means your words are in opposition. It's your own words that's going to slay you. See, God already knows his system. He doesn't have to come down and beat on you. The system's already set in play. The law is already set in motion. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Whichever one you choose, that's what's going to happen. So make sure that your words are in agreement with the words that the Father is speaking. Now, Psalms 85, verse 8 from the Amplified Bible says this. I will listen with expectancy to hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people. So everything that the Lord God is saying is going to be a result of peace. To his saints, those who are in right standings with him. Now, I like this. All the words that God, through his Spirit, is going to speak to his people are going to bring them into peace and keep them in right standings with him. See, as long as I'm in right standings with God, I'm living a life of peace. There's nothing missed, nothing broken. It's no different than your own children. As long as your children are in right standings by saying, or if you tell them to do X, Y, and Z, and they do X, Y, and Z, well, you don't withhold things from them. But it's when they say, I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. Now, hold on. Now, you're getting ready to miss out on some things. Now, you're getting ready to remove some things now because, see, you're not obeying. So God is saying here, I'm speaking peace, and I'm keeping you in right standings with me. You're going to be in right, and we're going to have a right relationship where I can flow through you and flow things into your life. Amen. Keeping the channels open for you to receive this peace. But let them not turn again to self-confident folly, or let them not continue to live a life of sin. Sin is a blockage to your peace. Sin is a dam that is built up in the lives of God's people to prohibit the blessings from coming because they're constantly hitting that blockage. Sin, that's what sin does. It separates. See, you remove sin, there's nothing to stop the flow. But the moment sin gets in the way, the flow can't get through. God never stops sending it. Because if God stops sending the peace, and if God stops sending the blessings, then you're in trouble. Because that means once you move the blockage, you got to wait for the flow to start all over again. But the flow is constantly going, constantly going. That's why the moment you ask God, Lord Jesus, I've realized that I've been sinning. Forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and let the blood of Jesus move this out of my life. What happens? Then that moves and the flow now can go on through. That peace can get on in there, and it can happen in a matter of seconds instead of a matter of weeks and months. Amen. Now, so whatever the Holy Spirit is saying is going to be a result of peace in our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Word, will speak truth to you, and then you ought to agree with it and speak it too. Whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking and trying to reveal to you, agree with it and say it too. Because the way you get it into your life is through you opening your mouth and making confession unto it. Remember Romans, the 10th chapter? It says it's with the heart that man believes, but it's with the mouth you open up and you make your confession unto salvation, that deliverance of spirit, soul, and body. Get that peace in there. It's done through your words. Open your mouth up and agree. Now, Renetta read a scripture on Tuesday that just stuck. It just leaped out into my spirit. And I want to go there. Proverbs 22. Ah, this is a great scripture. Now I got a scripture for it. I know you say it all the time, but now I got a scripture for it. Now remember, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of the Word, he is constantly speaking truth in your life. You need to figure out what it is that he's saying, hear it, and start agreeing and speaking it too. Now, notice what it says here in verse 17 from the Amplified Bible. Listen. The word listen means to consent to it and submit to it. So that means agree and do it. To what the words of the wise, listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind. Now here is it, here it is, believing them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. So if you listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, consent to what he's saying, no, you ain't got to understand it, just say yes. And then submit to it, to do it, the words of the wise, and now that's going to help you to apply your mind to then start meditating on the knowledge that's coming. It says, for it will be pleasant if you keep your mind, if you keep your mind full of it by confessing it and believing it. But then it says your lips will become accustomed to confessing them, so that your trust, belief, reliance, support, and confidence may be in the Lord. I have made known these things to you today, even to you. So if you want to get accustomed to making proper confessions, submit and consent to the word of God. Simple. The more of the word I consent to, the more of the word I submit my life to, the more of it is going to begin to fill up my heart. The more of it I begin to believe in inside, now my mind is being now done. Remember Romans chapter 12? I'm being conformed in my mind now. The more conformity that I take in my mind, now it says my mouth, my lips will become accustomed to confessing the right thing. See, my words will start to agree with peace because I am accustomed to speaking peace instead of speaking all the other junk that the devil's telling me. Now, I wasn't going to say anything about this. Now, I'm going to tell you, I want to show you something here, just how slick the devil is. And he can get anybody. Now, Monday, I've been praying. I was praying, believing God. Tuesday, praying, believing God. I mean, I'm fine. Just going on about my daily business, enjoying God, in the Word, you know. Got my Bible out, my tapes out, CDs. I'm just in the Word, in the Word, in the Word, in the Word, in the Word. Thursday comes along. You know, and I'm in the Word, I'm fine. But then I laid down the couch, and this thought came in, you know. You haven't had a good track record with God in this certain area. That was it. You said your track record hasn't been that good in this certain area. Now, those few words, I received them and started thinking about it. I said, you know what, that's true. Now, I'm sure how subtle it can be. Now, from those few words, Quantrell came home, we started talking, and she started telling me some stuff, and I just flipped and went off, a temporary insanity for a minute. I did. I got to saying some stuff, and I was hearing it come out of my mouth, and my ears was like, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this stuff, but I'm hearing it, and it's coming out, and I'm like, where is it coming from? What's going on? And Quantrell, listen, you don't understand it. Yeah, but I thank God for a wife to know the word. Because she lit into me with the word, chewed me up one side, down the other, and I got mad, but I couldn't refute it. I couldn't refute it because I know what the word says on the inside. Oh, I was trying to fight my case, but my case wasn't standing on too much because that junk can't stand on the word. Now, if she had came in and says, oh, you poor baby, I know how you feel, then we all would have been messed up. But she lit into me with the word and got through. She said, I don't care what you, I mean, she just chewed me out and left me sitting there. So I started thinking about it. What she said. This is the scripture. At that point, I had consented to and submitted to the wrong word. And something as simple as just, you know, your track record hasn't been too good. Just something that simple got in there and tore up us. Man, for about a few hours there, I just went nuts. But then, after she got through and the Holy Spirit began to talk to me, see, I didn't know what had happened. The Holy Spirit walked me right back to where it got in. He said, remember those words? I said, yep. He said, I didn't say that. I said, I know you didn't. And know what I had to do? Repent. And go back and fix my mind, fix my words, and fix my thoughts on the word of God and get myself back over where I need to be and get off money that crap over there that's trying to destroy things. Now, what would have happened if I didn't understand how to listen to the Holy Spirit and I didn't have a wife talking to me with wisdom? How far down that slippery slope would I have slid before I figured out where I'm at? How much peace would I have had to miss before I figured out I'm off track? But because I'm accustomed to confessing the word, I'm accustomed to believing the word, I love God with my heart, soul, might, mind, and strength, it's easy for me to hear error and get myself back over here. Now, and no matter where, who it come from. Because I could have said, I know some men would say, girl, I'm the pastor and the man of this house. How you going to tell me what you? So you got some people that have done that. Or then you got the other half. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No, I'm the one who rebuked my own self. But see, just how slick and subtle. Just how slick and subtle. It don't take a lot. In less than 4 or 5 words, he had me all jacked up for a moment there until I could hear the word come again and correct me. Now, I thank God for loving me. And he loves you. Now, what I'm trying to show you how to do is to keep your peace intact. How to submit, consent to the word of God, to the word of the wise, to wisdom, and how to get your lips accustomed to confessing the right thing instead of saying the wrong thing all the time. But it doesn't happen before wishful thinking. See, you got to have people around you to know the word. You got to know the word so you can hear the word when the word is being spoken to you. And you can get yourself back on track. Now, you know, we're traveling through life. And on the travel through life, you may get off track every now and then. But praise God, that's what the Holy Spirit's job is, to pull you back over here and say, look, son, look, daughter, come on. Here's the path here. See, peace is on this road over here. See, you're getting too far off track now. Now, God's people got to learn how to heed those kind of those warnings and hurry up and do it instead of waiting 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 months, year, and figure out now your back's up against the wall. You have no escape. Now you realize, well, I must have made a mistake somewhere. And it's been so long that the mistake happened now, you don't even know where it happened at. But we're talking about using peace as a force. Now, what I should have did when that thought came in and says, you lying devil, you lying to me. Greater is he that's in me than he's in this world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'll use my peace as a force. And you get that mess and you get out of here. My track record's pretty done gone good. For as God, and I'm concerned. Now, all that other stuff that you're talking about, I don't know nothing about. See, We have to stop seeing things that we don't succeed as failures. And it's sometimes difficult to do with the way we've been trained. Because you made a mistake or because it didn't work the way you thought it should have worked, doesn't necessarily mean that you're a failure. That just means that there's a better way to do it. And the Holy Spirit wants to show you the better way. See, you haven't failed until you quit. When you quit, it's over. You fail. But as long as it says, okay, because that, for instance, we got lights now. How long do you think it took Thomas Edison before he sit there and say, 1 million and 2 million ways of how not to, because I heard Kenneth Copeland say this. He said he read a book on the man, and the man said that, they kept asking him, how you feel about all them, all them times that you went in there to figure out how to get that light to work, and it wasn't working. All them times you failed, he said, well, I just figured out 1 million ways not to make a light bulb, for the lights not to work. He says, but all I was looking for was the one way to make it work. I found a million ways not to. So now what would have happened after 50? He said, oh, well, I guess we'll never have lights. Let's just use these candles for the rest of our life. Kept going. Got to keep going. If you're going to reach peace. If the force of peace is going to work for you, you got to keep going. All right. Now, so our lips will become accustomed to confessing words that agree with our peace if we would just consent and submit to the word. Now, let me show you some scriptures here in Revelation chapter 12 that I think fit here. Revelation chapter 12. Now, let's read from verse 7. It says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So in other words, there's a disturbance to the peace of heaven. There's a disturbance going on now. Because there's peace in heaven, but now here's the dragon and the angels now starting up a ruckus. So now peace has been affected in heaven. It says, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So now, there was a disturbance in peace, but now disturbance to peace in heaven. But notice, the disturbance has been kicked out. So now peace has been restored, in other words. Now, verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying, the Amplified Bible says, a strong, loud voice saying. So that's how the devil got kicked out. A loud, strong voice says, no, Satan, you will leave from here. Lucifer, get out, and he fell, turning to Satan. And God didn't have to go out there. See, God ain't physically out there boxing with people. He speak the word. The devil tried to use that same system on God. If you go back over there and read it, over in Isaiah, he says, I'm going to sin, and I'm going to this, and I'm going to that, and I'm going to this. See, he thought that when he said those things that they was going to go out and create like God's words, but what you don't understand is how you're going to usurp the word. And the word rose above his word and says, no, you will not. You are leaving out of here. And so he had to go, him and all the angels that he deceived. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Now, verse 10 says, now has come salvation, deliverance of spirit, deliverance of soul, deliverance of body, and strength. Strength, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and the kingdom of our God, the kingdom that we now live in, that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is the kingdom of God, where the power of his Christ works, where the anointed one's anointing works. Now, how's all that done? How do you receive your salvation? Through your word. What is the Holy Spirit's job in your life? To strengthen you to believe and to confess the words. The word. You live, and now salvation has brought you complete deliverance of spirit, soul, and body, right? That means you have that peace. That's peace. Nothing's missing, nothing's broken. That's what salvation has come to do for you. Give you a right to live in that peace. Then the Holy Spirit's strength comes to give you the ability to live it out. So that force of peace can work in the kingdom of God where we live. See, the kingdom of God is an extension of heaven. It is actually heaven niched out and its system placed here on this earth. So there is total peace in the kingdom of God. Everything in the kingdom of God is operating and functioning in agreement and in alignment with your peace. Everything. That's why God put you there to live there. Just like God put Adam and Eve in the garden. See, the whole earth wasn't completed yet, just the garden. But God didn't make them and set them on the outside of the garden. No, he put them in the perfect place. So in this kingdom that we live in, everything's